Don't forget tonight our tape. We don't have a tape tonight, but don't forget communion so that all of us can assemble ourselves together before the Lord and take the Lord's Supper. Next week we'll be playing a tape. We'll continue with a restoration of the bride tree. And if you can remember, if you want to bring your books, it's volume 62, 25, and 26. There are two books there. So we'll continue on with the tape. This morning, we'll be studying the restoration of the bride tree. It's kind of a subject that really, it's prophetic more. And I don't know why, through the Old Testament, we broke down the prophets into two groups, major and minor, and consider Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on as major prophets, and consider Joel, Hosea, and so on as minor prophets. But Joel was a prophet, and if you study, Joel was considered in the Hebrew canon as number two minor prophet. But Joel had given some very strong prophecies. It's not the number of prophecies that they have given them, but the word of the Lord is good for everything. The word of the Lord it's not less important in Joel than it's in Isaiah. And Joel, of course, was a man that we have no record of his age. We don't have any date. And his name means Jehovah is God. Joel, to me, gave some of the strongest prophecies. And one of the strongest prophecies was in Joel 2:28-29, when he prophesied about the pouring of the Spirit in the day of Pentecost, and it's quoted in Acts 2:17-18 verbatim. There are prophecies that Joel has given about restoration, about what God is going to do with his people, and always looks to me that the people, when the first time read the prophecy, they look at it and they say, what does it really mean anyway? But in the restoration ministry, when you start looking on Joel 2, the 25th verse, when Joel says, I will restore, saith the Lord, you have to see he lists certain amount of beetles there that eat the tree and how God is going to restore it. So you better go back to see what was in the beginning in order to know what God is going to restore. Now, a prophet is a man that has the word of the Lord, speaks what God asks him to speak, and is a foreteller and also an interpreter. A foreteller, that's why they call them prophets. Prophemi, the verb means pro before, phimi, I speak before it comes to pass. Now, Joel, of course, we have his prophecy, and we know in the first chapter, the first couple of three verses, especially third and fourth, he said this, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What he's going to tell them, listen to this, that which the palmer worm have left, have the locusts eaten. And that which the locusts have left, have the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm has left, have the caterpillar eaten. There are four separate transactions, or so four separate destructive times. But remember, it's the same beetle that does it all the way through. And when we start looking now, the destruction that's going to happen, remember, God says, I will restore. And when we get to that portion of Joel, the second chapter, we find that restoration. God says, I will repay. I will do things right. No matter what happened, I will do these things right. Now, when you start looking at the prophecies, the first, should I say, beetle that's going to start eating that tree. We're talking about a spiritual tree. We're talking about individuals. We're talking also about the church. It's a compound meaning. I often said I wish if I had a copy for everybody of Hazelton's book about church history. It's so simple reading, and yet it's a book that you can quote verbatim many times, and Brother Branham called Hazleton a prophetist. The book is out of print. It's very hard to get it. It's not around, so there's nothing can be done. Now, Joel have seen a tree in his prophecy, and the tree, he looked at it, and there were four different, should I say, destructive beetles that they start eating the tree. And it was done different times, progressively. And we have to be careful, because probably this can teach us quite a few lessons to be careful for ourselves. Now, God has a tree. We mentioned last time about the tree of Pentecost. And when you listen to that tape, the restoration of the bright tree, you'll find these four beetles. The first one was the palmer worm. And what the palmer worm has done, it was start destroying the fruit of the tree. It's a beetle that start eating from the fruit. You say, Brother David, what is that fruit? If you go to Galatians and you start looking at Galatians, the fifth chapter tells us about this fruit of the Spirit. I use a plural tense. The scripture uses singular tense. The scripture uses singular tense because there are nine separate areas of that individual fruit. We have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These things are supposed to be manifested in an assembly. And it says the fruit, not the fruits. Now, I'd like to get into something here so you understand how destruction takes place in the assembly and the individual. When you start looking at a fruit, you look at it, and we judge it sometimes by its beauty. We say it's ripe, it's red, it's this, it's that. And probably Brother Dermot knows more than anybody else. We judge it by the outside. But the scripture always looks in the inside. What is going on inside? And a fruit is the equivalent to the Greek word fruiton, so it's what you pick up from the tree. But inside that fruit that you have, there are a certain amount of seeds. And these seeds, if it's not a hybrid fruit, is the fruit carrier. It's the life that is carried to multiply itself. So now you see that first beetle, the palmer worm, start eating from that seed that was in the tree, start eating the seed to destroy so it won't be multiplied, will not be spread around, so it can work later on in and in until it destroys completely the individual or the church. Pride enters quite often among the congregation and we lose the love. You know, none of us is supposed to think of himself that he's anything. We are nothing. And when we start dealing with destroying, let's say, love or peace or joy, it's sometimes we lose our place before Christ. When we lose how God looks at us, then we can look others so easy and judge them. But when God reveals who we are before him, then we have no criteria to judge anybody but ourselves. So often we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, I want to try if I can to get closer to you. But there are certain elements you have to get rid of them. We look at that first, should I say, beetle, start eating. What produces? Produces joy, produces love, produces all these things in the assembly, in the individual. And quite often, pride enters in, we start being identified who's who. And remember, there's nobody who's who. There's only one, Jesus Christ, that's all. The rest of us, we are nothing. And when that element starts entering into the assembly, into the church, then we feel now, I'm going to do something better than God can do. You see, we don't like sometimes to be identified with the little ones. We don't like to be identified with the poor, with the ignorant, with the illiterate, and so on. But remember, the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. God picks up these little ones, and sometimes these little ones can offer a prayer to God, and can reach God while the rest of them, Mr. and Mrs. Who's Who, can try to pray and pray and will never get higher than the ceiling. So now the destructive element that you see now in that tree, the first thing start eating the life that's in that fruit, that seed, which you call it the life carrier, is the fruit, so it will not spread itself more to produce any more life. That's why our life sometimes, it doesn't reflect outside of what we are. Because something has been eating the fruit. Something has been eating our love. Something has been eating the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, faith, and so on. All these things are sometimes get eaten up. And then we expect, for example, to see another tree come and so on. The other tree doesn't come because there's no way to multiply it. Now, when we start looking what this bug has done, he start eating the fruit by destroying really the fellowship of the assembly. You can destroy individuals by thinking that they are more educated than you are. Give them a better place, a better seat, and more importance because somebody's doing a little work for God or something. You know, all of us, we are nothing. The bottom line, we are nothing. And when we start realizing we are nothing, then we can just move forward with God. Anytime your mind goes to the place that you look somebody else that's greater or lower than you are, you better go to Jesus. And don't compare yourselves with one another, the scripture tells us. Compare yourself with God. Because there's no way to compare yourself with anybody else. All of us who have work to do. But remember, your work or my work is not greater than somebody else. All of us who are working together to see a soul being saved and be the kingdom of God. The rest of it, I did this, I did that, I'm going to do this. It's the human element that enters in and destroys. And look at the transition, what we have done. The old times, God was the congregation of Jesus. Very poor people, one here, the woman at the well. That was the congregation of Jesus. Today, we say who's who. Quite often in the tapes, you hear Brother Branham speaking about churches. They say the mayor of the city comes to our church, and this comes to our church. And really, so what? The bottom line is them and you and me and all of us are going to die one of these days and going to face eternity. And our position in worldly things means nothing before God. What are we going to do? We're going to cross the river. And there, God didn't say that you are a mayor or the president of the country. It depends your relation with Jesus Christ. That's what depends. That's how you're going to go on. And God doesn't want to have that destroy the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't want to destroy love. He doesn't want to show any to destroy long-suffering. He doesn't like that superiority that we feel going to be better. We're going to have a better building. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we are better than the next church. Nobody's better than Jesus Christ. And whenever that spirit comes upon you or upon me, that we look ourselves, that we are something or are important, or starting comparing with one another, remember, Satan gave it to you, not God. Because you don't compare yourself with one another, you compare yourself with Jesus Christ. And that's how you can follow Christ, period. So that bug now start eating the fruit. And what happened? Then you see what happened. Everything became rotten. And the seeds that were in there, they didn't grow. They didn't come to maturity. They didn't do anything because what happened? The reproductive life was destroyed. And what you have? You have sometimes fruit that looks beautiful, but inside there are no seeds at all. They're hybrid. And because somebody comes to church and feels important and feels that I'm this, I'm the mayor of the city, I have education, you don't, and all that stuff, you know what it is? Sprout a hybrid orange. There's no way to reproduce itself. That's what John the Baptist asked. John said to the multitude, he says, bring therefore the seed that's in the fruit and let me bear it to see what I'm going to get. And he called them generation of vipers. It's very easy for us to get wrapped up with the world and lose the simplicity of the Spirit. Lose to be able to come to church and with an open heart to sing unto the Lord instead try to outdo another church or something. We're not here for that. We're here to prepare ourselves to meet Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. And then when that element enters into the church, like you're going to hear in the tape, true peace comes only from the Lord and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peace leaves us. Why? Because the competitive spirits are entering in us. And that when you compare yourself, always there's strife. Always you try to prove yourself something. Remember, any time that spirit comes upon you, you say, Lord, be merciful to me. I want to get rid of it. That's not of you. I want to go on with you. And when you lose the true believers that believe in Christ, and when you lose the two true simple ones, then you have the Mr. Who's Who that they think that they are taking over. Now, when these people take over, then what happens? You have a hybrid church. The little one sits in the corner grieved and says, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I wish if we say praise the Lord. And then the formalities start entering. You know, we are afraid sometimes to praise God. See, we lost the vision sometimes. We lose the vision. Instead of saying, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me today, this day. I think somebody prayed, I don't remember who prayed, Brother Craig or somebody, to be able to have eyes to see this morning. You know? I saw the other day a young man, a blind young man with a white cane, try to walk in a mall. And I look at him, I just think of it. This could be me, this could be you. How much you stop and say, Lord, thank you for these little things that you've given us. Thank you for things that we don't realize that's so great in our lives. What about if you didn't have eyes? You couldn't read the word. Of course, you can hear it. But what about if you don't have any ears? What about this? What about that? Can you imagine a mother having a child and be blind, never see the child, how the child looks like? All these are blessings of God that has given to us. All these things are given daily. And let's have an attitude to say, Lord, I'm not going to be the reason for destroying the tree. I'm going to be the reason to just glorify your name. Instead of saying, now, what is the biggest church in town? That's what it is. No, it has never been with Jesus. Always, and I like to say very, very carefully that, always, when you find a big assembly, you find Mrs. and Mr. Who is Who. And God doesn't go for that. God goes in the simplicity. God goes in the ones that know how to pray. God knows who the ones that they're going to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. Please forgive me. They have time for the Lord to stop and listen to what he has to say. You know why? He'll protect them for tomorrow. You don't listen to God today, you have troubles coming tomorrow. That's how it works. We say all the time, I want to pray. But, you know, I would like to get the subject someday. The difference between prayer and listening. We open our mouths, blah, blah, this, blah, blah. You say, Brother David, you talk about prayer. So often, we think if we don't say something, we don't pray. But you stand still and listen to what God has to say. And when His Spirit starts dealing with you and convict you, there's nothing you can say but, woe is me, I'm undone. Nothing you can say but repent. Nothing you can say that I'm the worst of every brother and every sister. Once then you see yourself before Calvary. But the world will be pulling the people and still pulling the people. And study that book very close, Restoration of the Bride Tree. It tells you how the first step of destroying the church. Constantine did the same thing. Constantine came to authority. He gave to the people, what do you want? The churches will give you the churches. But with the churches, he gave them entertainment. He gave them the things of the world. He gave them who's who and all these things. And what happened? They lost the Spirit of God. And then it becomes formality. And then you say, oh, we like to have fellowship. And you know what's fellowship? Showing off to each other. It's a body get together. When we talk about fellowship, there is no fellowship outside of the blood of Christ. There's no fellowship outside of the blood of Christ. And today we're in a time that we say, oh, I like to have fellowship. And you know what I mean? Gossip. That's not fellowship. Oh, I haven't seen you for a year. I'm so glad to see you. Let's talk. Fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you talk about real fellowship, it has to come from the Word of God and the blood of the cross. That's all that you can go into. So now that first beetle that we see, the palmer worm, start eating and eating and eating. What happened? There was no fruit left. That's why sometimes we lose the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? We let the things that destroy the fruit coming among us, and we destroy it, and then we say, well, there's something wrong. Something is missing. Sure, something is missing. Somebody's eating up the fruit. Somebody's messing up with the whole thing. Something we start developing a hierarchy of who's going to be the biggest, the smallest. I always remember university days that I saw a chart one time. On the top, they had the president. And below that, they had the deans for academic affairs, business affairs, and so on. Behind the deans, they have the faculty on the academic affairs and so on. And then below there, they had the students and the faculty and so on, all of them down there. And a student took it and turned it upside down. And he says, the president's supposed to be at the bottom, supposed to serve the students. That's what he's there for. I'm wondering if we can make a chart and try to identify ourselves, how high we put ourselves. And list everybody that's below us and say, I'm better than he, I'm better than she. You just reverse the chart and you go at the bottom and ask one thing, how can I serve a brother and a sister in these last moments of time? How much I can pray for a brother, a sister, a family, children that are raising up, the sick and the afflicted. God to keep us in this hour. This is the service to the Lord. It's not friend to run the show. Sometimes you can't get away from a calling. You have to do it. But sometimes I just wish if I can be gone. You know, the responsibility. You see always somebody that you want to help. You try to do your best. And quite often you get discouraged because the only thing you get is the dirt from it. But you know, it's the calling. As long as you fulfill the calling, no matter what happens, that's what it is. And you keep on going. So that beetle now start getting in, start eating the fruit, become formality now. And what happened? Oh, you don't worry about it anymore, about the fruit, the only thing we got, we are all of us belong to that church, and all of us are okay. You must say, all of us who are Baptist. All of us who are Methodists, all of us who are Presbyterians, all of us, we are in the message. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking if the fruit of the Spirit can dwell in us. I'm not talking about somebody blah, blah all the time. No. I'm not talking about shooting somebody's mouth all the time that they feel like. I'm talking about stop and think what you're doing. Stop and think what you're supposed to be doing. So God can bless each one of us. So now from there, we got the next destructive beetle that we did in Joel was the locust. What this fellow is going to do? He's going to start eating the leaves. Remember, the tree is going down to under deterioration. It started from spreading or multiplying. Listen. Listen how it works. The first thing you do, you destroy the way of the blessings of God for souls to find Christ. Then you come to a little closer to the locust, which what do you do? Eats the leaves. So that thing starts eating the leaves. What the leaves were doing, it's a type in the scriptures of divine fellowship. You have divine fellowship. Makes the tree bare. Just a bunch of branches laying around. But we have to be very careful now that God, no matter whatever happens, we see in the church ages, this tree going down and down and down, and probably your own life. But someday God says, I will restore, saith the Lord. There is a restoration ministry. Joel saw it. Joel saw the outpouring of the Spirit. Joel saw the second chapter, that God will restore, saith the Lord. That's it. And now we see that these things are eating the leaves, and the leaves is the divine fellowship, the destruction of it. After the liberal ways, we have separation and the few. Now, what do you have, Brother David? You see, today people don't understand fellowship. I often said, if it's not fellowship under the blood, it is not fellowship. It has to be the blood of Christ. Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, and so on, the Scripture tells us, two cannot walk together unless they agree. You cannot walk with them. I cannot walk with many people of the message. I cannot do it. Because they believe and accept the message instead of be born again. They're a bunch of hybrids and nothing else. They are breed the wrong way instead of Calvary. Unless God saves a man and a woman by the blood of the cross, I have nothing in common to say our fellowship. I like to see the sinner coming to Christ, but this stuff, the body get together and say, we got a convention, we'll do this, we'll do that. I just have nothing to do. I say sometimes, I go there and I speak and I say, Lord, when I go, I cry when I leave. I say, Lord, might have been one somewhere. Because you don't see them anymore. You don't see the sincerity anymore. You don't see these things. Just the formality going on. And then he says, let's have fellowship. Fellowship on what? Scratch my back and scratch your back? Is that the gospel? Fellowship means crying day and night for the lost. Fellowship means studying the Word of God. But we don't like to do that. We like to splice quotes to make doctrines instead of bringing to the Scriptures. A man said to me not too long ago, a minister, waited for me at the end of the service. So he said to me, you and I should get together. I said, what for? He says, I got a quote or something. I said, do you have the Scriptures for it? He said to me, well, I says, find the Scriptures, then we talk about it. I'm not going to waste my time anymore with these people. They take and twist and turn around everything that they want to do, and then they give it to you. They say, now, Brother Branham said this, but he said many things before and after. Why don't you live in the same continent? Then let's take it from there. But they don't like to do that. Why? Because they're hybrid. I don't care if it's Presbyterians or message. If the blood of the cross hasn't saved them and fill them with the Holy Ghost, they need a new revival in their souls. That's it. So now, what do we have? The fellowships are becoming cooler. Why? The separating lines, first of all, with the congregation, what happened? I'm more important than you are. We become cliquish, you know? The clique right here all the time together. The other clique all the time together. You see, that is not God. We're going to pay for these things. Remember this. And when you see the things happen, then things happen, then you say, what happened? What happened? Progressively, that bug starts eating the fruit. Then progressively start eating the leaves. And then what you have? A tree with a bunch of sticks laying around. You say, is there alive still in there? Yes, but there's two more to come. So, fellowship must be under the blood of the cross and the Holy Ghost. Can you fellowship today with the ecumenical movements? Tell me. When the very foundation of it denies the blood of Jesus. Can you fellowship with some of the people of the message when the foundation of it denies the blood of Christ? The only thing they know, accept, is to be born again. The whole message leads you to it. But what happens? Oh, we are all one. What makes us one? Oh, God sent a prophet. Shame on us. That's Satan. That's not God. That's demons. What is it? It has to be the blood of the cross. That's where repentance takes place. What about if the devil gives you the spirit of pride upon you? And you think you're something. Tell me. Where would you go for deliverance outside of the blood of the cross? To forgive you and wash you up. You need the blood every day, every moment of your life to go back there. We think we do religion sometimes. I'm talking about life right now. And Satan will come around. And of course, you see, the make-believer will come around, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everything's all right. He'll know more quotes than you are, and go on and so on. By the time you finish, you know something is missing. Repentance cannot be applied without the blood. You've got to have the blood to produce repentance. Did you watch in the New Testament when Jesus was going to come and produce a sacrifice? John the Baptist started introducing repentance. Why? Repent first, because behold the Lamb of God. He said to them, he's coming. You've got to have that blood all the time. When the ecumenical movements deny the blood of the cross, when the people of the message, the people of the rest of the people say, I accept, instead of be born again, the people are looking today for salvation and they don't know where to go. Of course, I realize there are few. There are a few elect. Very few. Study the tape, 1 in 1,000,000. And other things will scare you. So now we see them. The divine fellowship has no separations between the rich, the poor, the races, the color, education. But the true born-again believers assemble themselves together to fit the body of Christ. Not to fit the coffee shop and the entertainment and the socials, but to fit the body of Christ who are serving one God. Somebody's watering. Somebody's doing this. Somebody's doing that. All of us are supposed to be doing before the Lord. Or you say, I don't feel like doing anything, or I don't know my calling. What about if you pray? The Lord might give it to you. Might be right there. But constantly we go to an environment ourselves that we say, if I don't do something that can be seen and be recognized, God didn't call me. God calls you to do the little things, the ones that you don't see. Look at the doctrine of Jesus. Go to your closet. He didn't even let you pray outside. Go to your closet and pray there. Go alone. And he knows what you want in there. He's going to meet your needs. You see, I don't have any prayer requests. What about the prayer request this morning? What about Brother Brian going to Russia and Ukraine? That's dangerous places. Would you try to go? I don't. You better pray before you go. Because it's not an easy place, not an easy trip. So what is it? It's a place for prayer. Now, we see that all this must work instead of an ecumenical type of a move. We are all this, we are all that. No, we are forming the body of Christ, the body of believers. No matter how much you go to coffee shop your fellowship, no matter how much you pet the people on the back, invite them for your entertainment, listen, if the blood is not there, it's vacant and it's Satan. That's it. The only thing you might be going to lead a soul to Jesus. Lead a soul to Jesus among the people of the message, yes. Help somebody to find Christ because they haven't been born again. Experience tells us many times you go to a meeting. I never forgot overseas one time when I asked how many of you at the auditorium are in the message, but you are not sure that you have been saved. Over 200 people came in the front to be prayed that they are in the message, they haven't been saved. You just wake up. You're going to find out one of these days. You'll be responsible for what you hear. I'm responsible for what I say. And you'll realize that whatever you do, it's between you and God. I'm talking about salvation. It's such a relation between you and the Lord that you don't want anybody to disturb it. You'll stand against anything that stands against that. Against your own loved ones. Against yourself. Against your nation, against everything, to exalt Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's what counts. So now divine fellowships are disappearing. We see now that next bug that we have here that we're working with is the canker worm. What kind of a thing is that? It's eating the bark. Listen, It start eating for the reproducing life. It's moving to the leaves, the fellowship. Now it start eating the bark of the tree. That's the source of life. Do you know that? I didn't know that before. Until lately, I saw the rabbits start eating a couple of trees out there. And you know what happened? They eat around the bark and they kill the tree. And I thought always life goes from the center of the trunk. And I realized that's not what happened. It's around it. So the neighbor says to me, he says, I see you are orange tree. He says, the rabbits are going to kill them. I said, no. He says, plenty of room to have food to go through the center. He says, no, that's where the food comes from. It comes from around the bark. So I start putting some fences around for the animal life so they don't eat the bark of the tree to protect it. What happened now? The first bark started eating from outside, traveling. Now, start hitting the trunk. And what happened? Eats the bark. Eats and eats. Until make the tree so weak, the tree start ready to die. In all these stages, remember this, God gives a promise that He will restore, saith the Lord. No matter what the people have done, God picks up a young lady here and a young lady there and makes them different. And you see, you look at them, and no matter what the friends are going to do, they're going to go on with the Lord. Because what happened? It's in them, right? They have fellowship with Jesus. And picks up another young man down there. And you say, well, what's the source of your life? You see, if the blood of Jesus has washed your sins, and if that Holy Ghost lives in you today, I'm not talking about yesterday tears. I'm talking about today. If that Holy Ghost dwells in you and dwells in an extent that controls your life, you'll be miserable in any environment except under the blood of Jesus. You got to run to the cross all the time. Or you say, I'm okay. How long has it been since you and I repented? Well, I have nothing to repent. You might be blind. You might be, but I'm a Christian. You might be blind. Paul said, I die daily. It's the death of the cross. It's not even the stimulation of the mind. We can read materials, I can read materials and books and so on. What happens can stimulate my mind to get my mind into the books and so on and feel good and so on. But that is not it. It's a relation of the heart between my heart and Jesus Christ. If I don't have this, I'm a castaway. That's it. Do you think that people will accept it? No. Why? One in a million. It's not the ones that started. Is the one that are going to finish. That's what it is. That is the secret. It's not the one that started. Is it possible that all these bugs have been start eating us? Study that tape. The restoration of the bright tree. Study it very close. Go word by word, line by line, paragraph by paragraph. Just study them and you'll find out what he's talking about there. We are at the end. Oh, I have been saved. Fine. Go on. If that's what it is, that's what it takes. Fine. You know, but I'm talking about a daily relation with God. So now, the canker worms start eating what? The bark. The canker worm, after he, the rest of the beetles start eating the fruit and the leaves and so on. The canker worms start eating the bark itself. And this is a type of a high denominational system. Rome and the daughters. Between the Roman church and me, I have nothing in common. Do you know that? Nothing in common. I went through some time ago and I throw books very viable at the trash that I would have sold them because I had to do with the Roman authors. Threw them away. You know, you might think David Mamet is fanatic. Fine. You have them in your office where you study. Do you know there might be spirits and you feel them? If you don't believe it, that's all right. I have experience with that. I don't want anything that doesn't exalt Jesus Christ. Or at least give me a reference about Jesus Christ. reference materials, I'll keep them. But a book itself written by Catholics, so on, I'll throw it away. So why? Because now it can start eating you up. Start eating the bark. Start eating the life that's left out of you, you know. And we live in a dry time. The people try to pray and they go nowhere. They think sometimes, I go to the next church, might be better. Or they come to this church, might be better. There's nowhere you can find Christ except in you. Don't chase around. Don't be that, I'm going to do this and that. Just look for Christ in you. Pray, says, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Nobody's going to give it to you. You have to have Christ in you. That's it. Listen, you might feel the presence of the Lord in the assembly. We might rejoice. Brother Gordon might be singing and have a great time. And all of us can be singing and clap our hands like we do and have a great time. But I'm talking about something else right here. If Christ is not in you, you're going to leave these doors. And when you walk outside of these doors, you know, you're going to be alone. And if he's not dwelling in you, you got problems coming. You better have him dwell in you to be good outside and inside here. To be at all times with you. Why? To keep you, to guide you. How many times I heard stories, myself and everybody. They were going to the wrong direction. They tried to do something. All of a sudden, the Lord stopped them. The Lord permits circumstances. And they start praying, says, Lord, Lord, about this and that. You know what? As a son and a daughter of God, God will never listen to prayer for you to be lost because you don't know how to pray. You pray for the wrong thing sometimes. And God is going to keep you and fulfill his word to keep you and go on. Let the rest of the people worry about it. We don't like these things. We like to say everything is love. Oh, just everybody's okay. And everything's the ecumenical council is okay. And we got this council and this presbyterian, this method, this message. We're all one. We are not one. We're individuals forming the bride of Christ. And if the blood is not there, I have nothing to do with it. That's it. That's a hard gospel, isn't it? But it's true gospel. It's true. Study that tape. I don't say this to scare you. Let me tell you something. Listen to this. I think it was last Monday. Or the Monday before, I don't remember. That Brother Branham's deacons were here visiting me, the old timers. Brother Hickerson and Brother Wheeler. We were talking about things. And we went out to eat, and then we talk about things and scriptures all the time and words about the people. Many strong things. Brother Hickerson says to me, Brother David, I said, what? I can never forget something. My daughter's still broken up about that. I said, what is it? He said, Brother Bram was preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. Serious. I think there were two books. Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. He says, he was sitting in the back, waiting for Brother Bram to come out. He says, Hick, calling him Hickerson, there were 700 people there. You know what I said to him? I got that many. Five in there. Wake up! Five, he said, I got in there, out of 700 message people. The people become more and more liberal. That's fine. If they want to do it, fine. If they don't want to believe it, that's fine. I'm still going to say what I believe to say. That's it. Five, he said. I was in another place. A man comes to me, you know something, Brother Dave? Now, the man knew nothing about it. He's there, Brother Crook. He said, you know something? I had an interview with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said to me, he says, Brother, he says, Jesus had 12 disciples. John the Baptist had about 6. I doubt if I have that many, he said. The people don't like this.
the one you get. A big table spread and everything's okay. I'm afraid. What happened? The denominational spirit now, under the canker worm, start eating and eating and eating. What happened? Start from outside. Start penetrating inside. More and more eating. Until come to the point that there was about nothing left. The final thing that happened, after eating the bark, spiritual means that the eating of the life of the spiritual tree. This is mysteries. You know, outside of what I was told about that tape, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, I have them in my desk. I'm studying them. I like to go through the series. You know, we know Sunday morning we come to church here and we have a good time and I appreciate song service and everything. But I'm afraid down the road. I say, how many of us are ready to meet the Lord? How many unsaved children we got? How many this? How many that? You know? I'm not rejoicing and be content in any other level of progress except salvation by the blood of the cross. That's it. To wash your sins away. To clean up everything. That's what God has to do for us. The final thing, we have the caterpillar. What's the caterpillar doing? Now start taking, sucking the life, removes the life out of it. After Rome took over, there's no life left. Squeezing out, squeezing out, squeezing out. What do you have for today anymore left? The people don't like it. They'll pay for it. Message or no message, they'll pay for it. Because we had everything in our hands. We had the books, we had the tapes, we had everything. Today, it's a total apathy. Total apathy. You look at the people and you say, Lord, here's 400, 500, 600 people in this meeting. You look at them and you're wondering. You don't want to manifest yourself who you are. You say, Lord, is there a one? Are there two somewhere here? Just help these two. The rest of them, what happened? They rejoice. Oh, Brother David, this and this. Praise God and so on. You know, hallelujah. So, Leviticus 33, the last three verses, always in my mind comes there. That's what you got in the front of you sometimes. Why? Because we live in a terrible time. A terrible time. Seems sometimes even to pray, to break through in prayer, it's a terrible thing. Try to get rid of the things that you have in your mind, the things that are pressing you. He says, Lord, I want to talk to you. Reveal to me who I am. You know, that's the greatest thing you can ask from the Lord. Do you know that? Reveal unto me who I am. You know, all these things dying around you when God shows you who you are. And the only thing you do, you can get moving. Get moving closer to the Lord. I cannot forget what Brother Hickerson told me. I said, Brother Hickerson, how many were at the meeting? He said 700. I said, what did he say? He opened his palm like that. He says, five to him. We think we know everything. You know? But God, in this day, he says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And if when you go to the second chapter, the restoration, you'll find out the first didn't appear. It's a different order that God puts it. It's not the order of the fourth, third, and the fourth verse of the first chapter. We're going to get into it. So what you have? Well, you have a time now that God makes the provision for restoration of an individual. Forget about group therapy. I'm talking about an individual. We are crossing the river. If I die today and you die today, I cannot help you, you cannot help me, or nothing. You are crossing the river alone. You might say, well, that's all right. Wait till you get there. And you find out how important it is. Because today, we think that, oh, I did this, I did this, I did that. I learn more and more in the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. It's that secret relation between an individual and the Lord that nobody can understand. You try to explain salvation. The only thing they do, they look at your outside manifestations. You say, you look like a Christian. You don't cuss. You don't say dirty jokes. You don't do that. But that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something beyond that. I'm talking about we're reaching the point now. We try always, Brother Branham speaks about that, and he said in that book, we try to make always an artificial church. From the Reformation of Luther all the way down. Take the Reformation of Luther, then it'll become bigger and bigger and bigger. Take Wesley, what happened? The churches become bigger. The members are there. But where is that old time religion that you can sit there and cry and pray before God for the lost? What do you think will be happening today? In this assembly, probably, each one of us in our home cry day and night for the lost, for the children that are grown up now. What do you think was going to happen? God is going to be moving. Why God's going to? Because He is listening prayer. He has the promise of restoration. He will restore, saith the Lord. But the Roman way, it doesn't work. What Brother Branham said, that was Rome. He says, that started from the Reformation of Luther, Wesley, and go on and on the same way. Oh, we are excluded. We are a different group. You cannot denominate this message. But remember, this message was never based on a group. It was based on individuals that formed the Bride of Christ. We're going to take communion today. I'm just wondering. You might say, I have been a Christian for 50 years. I'm not asking you that. How long has it been since you repented before God? If you haven't been repented, you might be self-righteous and you don't even know it. We need Him every day of our lives. Every day. Bitterness, strife, all these things. You know, it just kills the tree, the spiritual tree. And we need that every day to say, Lord, here's another day. Forgive me. Help me to do better than the day before and continue on with You. Learn how to be not compromiser. Respect their freedom. Respect their rights. If that's what they want to do, do it. But you don't have to be a conformist. You don't have to say, oh, I better agree with you. No, no. Just go on. Just going before I said, can you tell this and this? Then I learn it. You say nothing. Leave it alone. Let it go. Why? If there's no response from the other side to listen, there's no sense for you to open your mouth because you're casting pearls among swines. I believe in my heart we'll continue the restoration doctrine. We live in a time that there are people and people and people try to break through. And they have a terrible time to break through. And I believe in intercessory prayer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same, like the song sang today. And I believe that you and I can contribute in prayer to raise these people up to meet their problems. We live in a society that's totally corrupted, in a total mess, and we have to pray for each other more than ever before in the last days. Paul said in Romans, don't forsake, on Hebrews, don't forsake yourself to assemble yourselves together as the day is approaching. So he's expecting at the end to have problems. And we know it. We feel it. We see people today that they're in total insanity. They don't know what to do. Do you know that? There's no criteria in them. I did it. Why did you do that for? So what? I'm right here. Do anything you want out of me. That's it. That's what they believe. But God has a bride. God has some people. And in these people, I believe God is working. Only as individuals. Only as people that they are molded to make that body of Christ, like the Temple of Solomon, There was every stone was cut as individual. At the assembly place, there was no noise. There was no nothing. Just God was chiseling around every stone. And I believe God is cutting every stone to prepare it to make the temple, to make the body of Jesus Christ. It's a body that you cannot show off. You know, you can, the natural man can see a little man or a little woman, the most insignificant people. And you know what? God might have them holding the whole thing together. Right there. And the rest of us, we might think, I did this, I'm the pastor, I did. We are nothing. Let's start at the bottom. Let's go to the communion table. And say, Lord, I haven't repented before you. I'm so good. How long has it been since you repented? Am I so good, or the conviction is not upon me anymore? What? Am I getting callous? Am I getting familiar with your word? What is it? It should worry us, right? It should put us to a place to say, hey, there's something wrong with me. I haven't repented for a week or two, sometimes a long time. He says, what do I need? I need to be conscious like His Spirit all the time. Be ready to meet Him. Do this right. Do this right. Do this. Do that. Make sure all the time that you have the tender spirit of repentance before God. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing that song, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. And when we sing it, just think about yourself. If you're a person that probably you haven't been in touch with Christ, or you don't know Him as your Savior, whatever it is, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let's surrender everything to Him. He says, Lord, what can I do for you? We're at the end. Seems to me like I'm cold, I'm callous. I'm expecting emotion instead of conviction. Lord, help me and give me that true conviction. I'm expecting somebody to shake me up instead of the Holy Ghost to convict me to repentance. Let's sing that song, I Surrender All, I Surrender All. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender, oh Lord Jesus, oh to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Father God, Lord Jesus, it's a fearful day. Ourselves, Lord, have been in a state to guarantee ourselves everything we're going to have. But Thy words is not the one that started but finished. Lord, bring each one of our lives before You, Lord. We repent, Lord. Lord, I like to say myself, I repent before You. Help me, Lord, to somehow be closer to You, Lord. Don't let me get cold, Lord, with the world, the things of the world. Lord, forgive our sins, each one of us here this morning. Pray for the absent body, Sister Nancy, Lord, probably visiting her grandfather. The rest of it, surely, Lord, and God of heaven, just be with that home, Lord. The need of Dermans, Lord, the needs that they have there. Lord, it's piling on them. I wish if I knew what to do to help them. Pray, Lord, for the families, Lord, Patricia, Craig, their children. Their salvation, Lord Jesus. Lord, that's the greatest thing we can pray for in this fellowship. See the salvation of the lost. Thank you, Lord, for the last day's message that points us to Calvary, to the cross, instead of a membership or a denomination, to make sure that we are right with you, Lord. Bless the ones, Lord, that probably a request we know nothing about. Brother Brian, as he plans to travel, Lord, last week's prayer request of Sister Iris, Lord, we have been praying for that. Lord Jesus, the sickness, the provincial family, God of heaven, the trials of Gordon and his family, Lord. Jesus, it's good to know you. Help us, Lord. Help us, dear Jesus. Gail's home, Lord God, her father and the children. Thank you, Lord, for the children. Little Cordell raising his hand and praising you. Just bless the young man, the rest of the young people. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you this morning. Help us, Lord, to see in one side the negative side of the bright tree, the rest of the destruction of that tree and the restoration of it. For you said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Lord, we rest upon your restoration, Lord, the Holy Ghost and power to restore each one of us. Help us, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we close, I would like to pray once more for any of the young people that might feel the need, that they need the Lord in this life. Just raise your hand and we'll close with another word of prayer. The only thing you have to do, just raise your hand. Don't come in the front. That you feel you need Jesus more than ever before in your life right now. Just raise your hand. Anybody here from the young people? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? The Lord God of heaven, the little ones, Lord, just touch their hearts, Lord. Help them, Lord Jesus, to have that experience between you and them, Lord. That's what's going to keep them. No church going or accept or this, but just the relation between you and them. Lord, we pray so you may save their souls. Be with the absent little ones, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray also the ones that didn't raise their hands, probably they didn't feel like, but they know that they need you. We love you this morning, Lord. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.